Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's the first day of a new week. Your Texans are in first place, having won four in a row, and Barry's back. No. So the last of that I can't get to. At least there's hope that he may be back at some point during the show. But Nick is here. I'm here. Raheel is graciously blessing us with his presence to fill in for Barry. Barry's going to be his first day live from remote from the Rose City because we had remotes last week. He couldn't do what he was supposed to do. And now that he wants to do what he was supposed to do, he can't do it anyway because we have technical difficulties. So with that, Raheel is here. Nick is there. Nick, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. Am I correct? And I just have to sit there and wait for the greatness of Barry?
Yeah, we're going to try and connect them like on a different platform, if you will, okay, for
so
lack of a better
hopeful,
term.
Houston, stay hopeful. But in
we'll
meantime,
try to get them connected. Yep.
You know, you got your guy, Raheel, who's doing marathon radio right now. Raheel, appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You and I are hoop junkies, right?
Yep.
So with that being said, I wanted to get your opinions on Loogie Nights. Because I called it Loogie Nights, but when I saw it, I was like, initially, I was like, Brandon Ingram, you weigh like a buck five wet, and you're just mad because he took full advantage of you to get an and one. So the shove in the back was one thing. But then when the melee broke out, and you realize the history between Chris Paul and Rondo, and it goes way back, and it goes to USA Basketball and other things, but I didn't see the spit. And then when I actually saw the video that had the spit and the Lakers came out to deny that there was any spit, I'm like, no, see here, all bets are off when someone spits in your face. So then when I saw the suspensions before, I don't know what you were thinking, before the suspensions came out, I'm thinking Ingram could get up to 10. Because that was almost Kermit Washington-esque, a running start, a haymaker, a sucker, and it was coming from a sucker punch point of view, thought it was awful. And I also thought you had to take into consideration just how disgusting it is and how it violates on so many levels it violates another man when you spit in his face. But the suspensions, I thought, were so far off base, it was ridiculous.
With Ingram, there has to be a past history, right? There is nothing there that I can remember where Ingram has had another fight or another moment. Luckily, that sucker punch didn't connect, and I think that was big.
If now, it did, again, with the replay, it's hard to see for sure to verify it didn't. It didn't look like it connected.
The reason I know it didn't connect is with that much force, the way he threw it, if it did connect, somebody would have buckled a little bit.
And you probably would have had some face swelling or wherever he was landing.
Like he missed it. It looked like it grazed Chris Paul's shoulder just a little bit maybe. But the fact that it didn't connect, maybe the NBA was a little bit more lenient on it. And then, like, the initial push. So we talked a little bit about it this morning, and I kind of get, like, look, that was a young player who was frustrated because James Harden, he's the best at drawing contact and getting to the foul line, right?
He knows the rules and how to exploit them and do what he needs
to do. Absolutely. But it gets frustrating when you keep doing that, and then you're whining for another call, like you do an and one, and it just seemed like a young player is like, enough of this. You know what? I'm a little frustrated. Here's the push. And it just went from there. So the Rondo, Chris Paul stuff, what's the Team USA beef?
So because when cuts were made and when all that was being, you know, Rondo's a guy that holds grudges. You know the whole history. And even if you don't know all of it, the fact that he had a grudge against Ray Allen on his own team. I mean, he's one of those guys that's just, a lot of people call him old school, but he's a punk. I mean, when he thinks you wronged him in some way or you had something to do with him, Rondo felt like he was extradited, thrown on the side because he wasn't one of the boys with CP3 and Melo and LeBron and all those guys. That started it. Paul Pierce went on to talk about the fact that it's been a long brewing history. Even when Pierce was playing with Rondo, he knew he didn't like Chris Paul. And then they had a couple of dust-ups during the course of the game where, whether you saw it or not, there were words, there were little shoves. Yeah. Chris is no angel either. If Chris doesn't like you or he knows you don't like him, he'll try and get under your skin a little bit too. I mean, we all saw that when he punched Julius Hodge in the nuts in college and forgot that ESPN had 10 cameras on him during the ACC tournament. But there is a long history between the two, and obviously they were drawn throughout the game. But nothing in any way, shape, or form should lead to spitting.
No, that was uncalled for. But, you know, that's Rondo, man. Rondo's going to do Rondo things. And as you mentioned, Chris Paul's no angel either. But he's our angel now. Yeah, he's our irritant absolutely. Now. He's our guy now. So it's not that dirty. Yeah, that's been, like, at first I couldn't tell. I could not tell. And then as you mentioned, people, you know, on Twitter, everyone had to go online and splice it up and show the actual, it's like barely any, but he did it.
And of all people, of course, the Rockets video department were the ones that got the video because you knew that was coming out because that's what Daryl lives for. But at the same time, here's my thing. Okay, so the NBA over the top encourages players to stop. When you have the urge to throw a punch or get into it, stop. Okay? I get that with the fighting, shoving, pushing kind of thing. Just like Harden did a great job of showing restraint when Ingram pushed him because he could have gone off. But we all know he's fake tough, so he wasn't going to fight him anyway. Okay, well, with the Chris Paul thing, he showed restraint for as long as he possibly could. But when someone spits in your face, and he still didn't throw a punch, he just pushed him in the face and made a point of saying, bro, there's certain lines you don't cross. That was one of those lines. And then for Rondo to throw a combo after that, I'm like, if you're the NBA, I get that you have, if Chris Paul, a maximum should be one game. And the other two guys, I'm looking at up to 10. And I have no problem with either one of them getting 10.
Okay, but Chris Paul, once I get it. Look, in terms of guy law and, you know, like if this was a street ball fight, somebody spits in your face, all bets are off. I understand that, but it's the NBA and all bets can't be off. When somebody spits in your face, it sucks. I get it. And Chris, like, I would have done the same thing as Chris Paul. But when you start putting your fingers in a dude's eyes, like, I'm surprised the Rockets department didn't release that.
I don't think he got him in the eye.
Oh, it looked like he got him.
I thought he got him, like, the lip and the nose to basically state, you don't spit on me.
It went like that, and that's when Rondo's like, okay, well, we're doing this. You're touching me now. Let's go.
But he started it by spitting on him.
That's fine. I get it. And
don't give me the denial, and the Lakers say they saw the video and there was no evidence, and then say, well, it was the mouthpiece in it. Okay, look, which one is it?
There was spit. That's fine. Just admit it. Okay, you know what? He did spit on him. How many games did he get, Rondo?
Rondo got three.
For spitting on a guy and throwing punches three games is a blessing if you're a Lakers fan. You're like, okay.
Indeed it
Chris
is.
Chris Paul getting two. Again, I know the spit. I get it. But he also instigated by touching his face.
Oh, man.
So that's why I think you do have to suspend him, too, to send a message. That's the only reason.
If you give him two, then those other guys still should be over five. Because here's my thing. It's a slippery slope. And now you are really getting into it. Because now, if you're in the NBA, you're a player in the NBA, and you realize in the past you're trying to avoid long-term suspensions and fines, it's one thing to say, I did the right thing. But when you say the difference between doing the right thing and doing your thing is one game, and it was for spitting and throwing a combination of two punches, and you only got one more game, he only got one more game than you did, then you might as well just start swing first, ask questions later, because of the fact of the matter is, you're starting to look like the NFL with the way you discipline first and then worry about it after the fact if you made the right call.
I'm surprised based on prior history. Look, Rondo and Chris Paul, they always do little things to get under people's skin, right? Like during games, and they'll do this. Mm-hmm. Rondo, I can't recall any dirty moments from last season for either one. Dirty moments. I'm not talking about like just getting under your skin and doing little things on picks, throwing a little extra contact. I'm talking about dirty
Rondo's
moments.
Rondo's had some. I'd have to go back and look it up.
Yeah,
but Rondo's season, notorious for... you know, and last season was one where he had to also kind of justify his own existence in the NBA again. So he had a roster spot.
And I think recent behavior and history does play a role in the suspensions. That's why I think Ingram only got four.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing to me. Ingram basically, first of all, he instigated it. And then at the – so it's bookends. He started it, which caused it to escalate to the point where it got out of hand, and then tried to finish it with a chicken bleep sucker punch running in, looking like Kermit Washington with Rudy. And for that alone, those two separate incidents and the way he went after a guy with his head turned, I think you got to give him more. I expected up to 10 games for Ingram.
Really?
I did.
I was like, you know what? It's probably going to be five because there's no past history. And then the first push. So the first push, how many would you have suspended if it ended right there? If the Ingram push on Harden, how many games?
You don't suspend him. You just give him a technical.
I would have given a game. One game.
Nah. Because you know what? If there was no rebuttal and it was just a shove because of frustration, happens all the time in the league, give him one game and be done with it. I mean, I'm sorry. Give him a technical and be done with it. I don't think he did anything at that point to warrant, but because it then escalated and because he got back involved, that's where I think the multiple games.
So the cheap shot then is worth four games. That's pretty fair. Four games.
Four games to be fair for the listeners.
I think that's a fair punishment for a first-time offender.
Okay.
Because it feels like Ingram just doesn't care as much on the court. Like, okay, nice. He's showing some heart there. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like, look, and here's the other thing. You don't realize when you're talking about the punishment of Chris Paul, the other punishment for Chris Paul, the Rockets, and all of us is we have to watch that team without Chris Paul, which looks like a totally night and day different, disoriented, out of sorts on both ends of the floor team. And I know it's only three games in, but there are still some things that Rockets fans need to be concerned with and hope that they are working on trying to fix.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Mikhail J.B. Bickerstaff year.
A lot of people said the same thing that I talked to,
A bunch of James and a bunch of guys. And you're just like, oh, this formula doesn't work without
And if the formula Chris. Is going to work, you need very specific skill sets from the guys on the roster that you don't have right now.
Nope.
So, hey, we're just getting started. We're still trying to find Leonard Nimoy is on line one, trying to go in search of Barry Laminack via the satellite. So we're going to try and bring him in. If not, Raheel is still here for more, and we appreciate him, too. If you want to join the show, well, come on aboard. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Raheel. At the Raheel.
At the underscore Raheel.
And, of course, at Barry is funny. OU Mike already weighing in on the missing Barry Laminack and something about four hymns. We're not going to get into all that. But if you want to get into the show, there's lots of avenues open right now. It's much more coming up. It's the usual suspects at ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's in Portland, and we're trying diligently to connect with him. If we use Jeff Luno speak, Nick is using unprecedented research and due diligence to make sure that when Barry is connected, that it is for the long haul.
So we're doing everything we can.
Nick is busting his ass in street terms, okay? So just
sweating.
Yeah, don't hate on Nick because Nick is doing what he's all he can. All right, he's got the soup cans and the string right now, and he is trying to get this thing done. So in the meantime, Raheel is here. We're having some fun talking a little NBA. One of the things on the text line, which is a great call about Ingram, the other thing we didn't talk about, the fact that in the midst of all of this, after the shove that started it with Harden, he literally berates an official that's smaller and way older and tried to intimidate him and got all up in his face and got going too. That in itself, too, should be factored in. Because you know what? The NBA is a show-me league these days where if you show any disrespect to the ball, to the basket standard, anything hits a fan, anything sends the wrong message, you're going to get suspended anyway. So again, if you're going to stay with past precedents and also do the right thing, Ingram should have had a lot of games. And like I said, man law, man code, whatever you state. But when you spit in someone's face and Paul showed the restraint he did to that point, I think all bets are off for Paul. I'd give him one game max, but I would have thrown the book harder at Rondo. People were also saying that Rondo a year ago tried to swipe at Steph Curry's feet when he was landing on a jump shot and has taken some cheap shots, got into it with Draymond too. He's no innocent.
Oh, no, I'm person agreed, in this. But were there any fights?
That I don't know.
Again, I said all the dirty stuff on court, that's Rondo. And the officials have to officiate accordingly. And that, you know, undercutting guys, stepping on their, putting your foot where they land.
Yeah, you got to get room to land.
That's a foul immediately. I would also change that to a technical if I'm in the rules committee, because that is.
That's the Bruce Bowen move.
Yeah, Bruce Bowen move. Who undercut, who undercut Kawhi? Why am I forgetting his name?
There's another
for the Warriors when they were up 20 plus in game one.
Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah, there you go. Zaza. Yeah. So that one, like technical immediately, not a foul. That is a technical. I almost want to throw people out because that's such a dangerous, cheap.
Well, but here's
thing.
The thing. You've got to send a message. Yeah. So the same thing I'm saying with the league, when you're looking at past precedents, so you do the right thing, which the NFL doesn't do. You do the same thing with the NBA and sending a message so that it doesn't happen again. That's why with these suspensions, the thing that bothers me the most is the message you've sent to the rest of the league is, hey, it's worth it if you go at a guy, because it ain't going to be that bad to make sure that you stand up for yourself and in the process don't tolerate things that you're being told and taught. Hey, even if it really ticks you off, take the high road. The high road's only a one game difference at this point. And when you're making what Chris Paul's making, hey, it'd probably be worth the price to be able to say, I went at him and I got mine in. I got my shots in. I don't like it.
I'm okay with the suspensions. Honestly, I get it. Look, and also for me, the other thing, the game atmosphere, it was a nice playoff style atmosphere with LeBron's first home game.
It had kind of a playoff feel.
And you know what? The clothesline where James Ennis clotheslined earlier in the game. Like, that kind of got things going. The crowd was already kind of buzzing. It was a close, heated game. I wonder if some of that was in there, like, okay, this was just for this game. It was a heat of the moment deal. These guys aren't going to do it again. Who knows? But nonetheless, the Rockets without Chris Paul, we saw, yikes.
So tell me your overall perception, because of course I'm going to be labeled as a Rockets hater if I say too much against the Rockets. But I wrote an article for Sports Map last night. And again, I was careful to make sure I left the door open so that you people don't think that I've already crushed them. But right now, their defense is unwatchable. And the fact that they're 1-2 says more about the fact that they couldn't stop anyone. I mean, I think that if you gave Calvin Murphy a ball right now and said, Murph, score on the Rockets, that he could go right down the middle of the lane without being touched and he could get two. Because I warned people about this. And yes, I know the Rockets lovers are going to say there's still plenty of time. They're still getting used to each other. But the losses that you suffered are very noticeable. And I know the rules change and all these different things are factored in and it's early in the season. All granted, and I'll give you that. But still, at some point, you're going to have to address the elephant in the room, which is you can't stop anyone.
Yeah, their man defense isn't good. Their rotations aren't good right now. PJ has been the bright spot in terms of just putting the effort out there. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, he had some nice stops against the Lakers, which was cool to see. And yesterday, you just saw a team that the Clippers wanted that game way more, back-to-back, all that stuff. Their defense without Chris Paul out there also, that you're losing your premier defender. You're losing your best perimeter defender. It throws everything off. Their defense isn't good, and I do believe it will take some time, because even a couple seasons ago, it took a few games to get the defense going.
Sure.
For guys to understand the rotations, guys to understand what needs to happen on certain plays. I think they will be okay, but I don't think they'll be a top five defense. I don't think they're going to be like last year's defense.
What I don't think Rockets fans understand is that through a lot of hard work with Jeff Bezdelic, over a three-year maturation process of the defense, they got to be a top-five defense in the entire league. Yep. You know, they got to be a top-rebounding team in the entire league when they were rock-bottom in both. And the thing is, it's half of it is buy-in. And so the guys with Bezdelic leaving, Roy Rogers, who was a journeyman in the NBA, who's been on a couple of benches before, is supposed to be picking up the reins, and he's using a kid named Matt Braze, who is, his claim to fame is he's Lute Olson's grandson, and he coached the D-League team. And those are the two guys that are giving direction to this roster on defense. NBA guys got to respect you, they got to listen to you, and they got to have want to when it comes to defense. Because if you go to the Barkley commercials or however you look at it, defense is desire and grit and determination and effort. I see none of that on their defense right now. And so hopefully over time they buy in, but they're not buying in right now.
And communication. Yeah. The communication. Look, for the most part with today's NBA, and you kind of mentioned it, the freedom of movement rule deal, like guys are going to get bought. You can be the
best.
That's
a horse bleep rule,
too. I hate it. I can't watch games now. It's really hard. It's such a clunky product. But with that rule in effect, the fact that offensive weapon, I mean, these guys are just great weapons all across the board. Give me the best perimeter defender and give me a top 10 offensive player. He's going to get by that guy. The offensive player is going to win that battle 80 to 90% of the times. But if you're communicating and rotating over and Capella's there and you're clogging the hole a little bit, you can get stops. You're not going to stop guys one-on-one by yourself. It's impossible. The Rockets are just not communicating and rotating right now. And that's a huge, huge issue with defense. But with time, communication does get better.
So here's my question with all that being said, right? If it wasn't broke, why fix it? You know, because if you want to go back to the old, unless your whole agenda is, I want to get back to the old ABA days. Because otherwise, there was a nice balance between scoring, which was up, and superstars being able to do what they do. But at the same time, when you wanted to, when you needed to, you could buckle down and play defense and you weren't going to get ticky-tack fouls. Now, fouls are way up. Scoring is through the roof. The only team that has – this is a crazy stat, by the way. The only team that has held their opponents under 100 points in their first three games this year in the NBA.
Memphis?
Incorrect.
Phoenix?
I'm telling you, it's a team that you would not expect.
Last guess, I will go. Let's go with Toronto.
It would be the Denver Nuggets, Raheel. Okay. The Nuggets are the only team giving up fewer than 100 points this season, while every team is scoring at least 100 points league wide. All right. Through the first weekend of the regular season a year ago, as opposed to this year, there's a new trend brewing. Because this year, 10 of the 30 teams are giving up at least 120 points per game. So one-third of the league is giving up 120 or more. All right. Last year, two. Giving up 120 on average. All right. The Nuggets are the same over the same amount of time. And with the Nuggets, the only who would have thought that with the defensive premise that is in Miami is in certain Eastern Conference teams and a lot of bad basketball in the East, you would think there would be several teams that aren't scoring 100 points a game. The only team that's holding teams less than 100 points is the Denver Nuggets. That's crazy to me.
Wow.
Fouls are through the roof. It's hard to watch. And you and I watch every night. It is painful to watch some of these games.
I was watching the Wizards and Raptors on Saturday night because I love watching John Wall.
I heard you say that.
I love it.
I don't know. You're more than me then because I couldn't buy into that game.
I love watching John Wall early in the season. Fresh John Wall is so much fun to watch. And every 20 seconds, there's a whistle. It was so rough to watch. And this is across the league.
Yeah, it's bad.
Toronto, Boston, Friday night. Same thing. You're like,
you were looking for a great game, yeah, and it's just too many whistles.
Let them play. Free throws should not be deciding these games, and that's what it is. When teams are in bonus with 6 minutes left in the quarter, that's not fun.
No.
That's not basketball.
No one's tuning in or paying tickets to see free throw shooting. If your objective was more high-flying, above the rim, scoring in action, you're not getting it. So maybe you scale it back a little bit. I don't know if they can do it, you know, during the season, but they need to because it's awful. All right, you know what's not awful? You filling in for Barry. I appreciate it, but we're trying to get Barry on the horn. I think next segment we should be good to go and get Barry back. But we appreciate you, Raheel. And, of course, always tune in to Raheel in the mornings. Always good radio with you and John and Dell as part of the ESPN family. So the text line is open. I'll get to some of those. We'll get Barry in here, and we'll continue to roll with the show. God, we need to get Nick in here. I mean, we feel like naked, like without Nick on the show. Well, it's already Fart Sharara. I don't know if you know that or not, but Fart Sharara is trending.
Somebody followed me on Twitter with Fart Sharara, and I just thought it was Nick's new account.
No,
so I didn't follow
him. You can blame Barry Laminack for
that. It's a parody
that
account that Barry strongly encouraged someone to do, and they did.
Okay.
All right, Todd, we see you. We'll get to you after the break. You want to talk about Chris Paul. We want to talk about Barry Laminack. We want to get him in here from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon, and hopefully we'll do that next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, right. right, now before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the Houston Rockets. I know that's your team. We were just talking about them. And I know that everybody loves the Rockets. And all of Red Nation wants to see them in person. Well, they're back from the West Coast. And your next chance to see them is this Wednesday night as it's a playoff rematch against Spider-Man Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz, who look really good, by the way. They have a really good roster. And they're going to be back again. So if you want to see playoff-like atmosphere, two good teams squaring off, Harden and Donovan Mitchell, Jazz, Rockets, it is a great game to go watch. And right now, the Rockets triple-double pack, which is presented by Mountain Dew, is on. You get two tickets, two hot dogs, two bottles of beer, water, or a Pepsi product for as low as $59. How do you beat that? You and one of your buddies, you and your wife, you and I don't care who, get all of that for under $60. Two tickets, two hot dogs, and two bottles of either beer, water, or Pepsi. Come on, people. You got to get in on this. First 3,000 fans on Wednesday night get a 2018-19 schedule jersey magnet presented by Mountain Dew. So you get a magnet with the schedule on it, and you get to see two great teams square off with lots of extras with the food and the drink and the tickets. All you got to do to get your triple-double package is see the Rockets and Jazz by visiting rockets.com.
Hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, save your texts and your pandemonium. Hopefully, calm can be restored in the world. Barry Laminack is joining us from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. It is always as smooth as using sandpaper for toilet paper whenever we do these remotes. Barry, what's up?
Yeah, I feel like this is really a trial by fire right now. Can you? I don't even know if you guys can hear me, to be honest with you.
I can.
I might just be in here. You can?
Yes, I can hear you.
Is it loud and clear? Like I sound okay?
I wouldn't pad your stats. I would say it's loud enough and clear enough. It does sound like you're a bit like you're doing it from the inside of a headphone of a good set of headphones. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it'll work.
Well, so here's the thing. So this place, nice place, great place, but they got brand new equipment last week. So they literally, I don't know if it just broke or they're just not familiar with how to use it, but they said that the people that installed it, they're called Wheatstone. I don't know. I guess they do stuff in this business. I have no idea who they are. But they knocked them offline for like an hour on Friday, which I was like, an hour? That's nothing. But yeah, so they've been struggling with new equipment. So that's been part of the issue, I do believe.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got it worked out because actually I think this is serviceable enough that it will do. It actually sounds way better than some of the calls we take on a regular basis. So we can get through that. So fill us in. So you've been Rose City, Portland, Oregon.
Boy.
I kind of warned you a little bit, but having lived there, I was going to tell you, if you thought Austin was weird, Austin ain't got nothing on Portland.
First of all, I'm like, where do I begin? So many notes, so many stories. So, you know, I drove to Austin and flew out of Austin.
Yes.
To get here. And the Austin airport is absolutely horrible. It's the worst. They have
because they don't have hamburgers.
Yes. There's no fast food. How do you have an airport and not have any fast food whatsoever? I don't understand that. I ended up, they have a Salt Lick barbecue. I had to go get brisket nachos, which is okay. That's still like bougie Austin barbecue nachos thing. I just wanted a hamburger. Austin, is it that hard to just get a hamburger somewhere? They had cauliflower tacos, which is nothing
I thought you're gonna tell me that it was all kale based, but that's worse.
No, cauliflower tacos. I'm like, go jump in a lake, Austin. That's not, I don't want that at all. So I'm sitting at the gate right now. I'm flying Frontier. And the only thing worse than Frontier is nothing. I think they make Frontier makes Spirit look like limousine service, I believe. That's what I'm told. Now, there's three Frontier gates right there where I'm at. One of them is going to Denver. Okay. One of them is going to Ontario and my flight to Portland. Mm-hmm. The Denver flight gets canceled. And they don't say why. They're just like, sorry, we're just not going to go to Denver. You guys all, here's a voucher. We're sorry. And they just sent a whole plane full of people on their merry way. The Ontario plane is there. And they're like, we're having maintenance issues. And so I asked the lady, because she was on the phone. She got off, this lady that was sitting next to me. She said, I've been waiting on this flight for 9 hours. I've been sitting here. So that the folks for Ontario had been there for 9 hours.
She's been sitting there the whole time?
Yes, because she had a baby. So I was just like, oh, my God. So they've been waiting on this plane for like 9 hours, right? The Denver flight's canceled. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to get to Portland. I might as well just drive home right now. So this lady, after like, you know, about right before I'm supposed to get on the plane, this lady comes on. She goes, okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and start boarding the flight to Ontario. Let's get all of the veterans and elderly. And then so she's mid-sentence and you hear her go, what? What? Leave me alone. Like, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so she stops. It gets quiet for a minute. And she goes, my mistake, folks. We're not boarding Ontario. We're boarding Portland. I was like, oh, why would you do that to those people that have been waiting 9 hours? They thought they were going to get their plane finally. And then she messed up and said the wrong city. Oh. I felt so – I would have been livid. But we left on time.
I was going to say, like, you felt livid for about 10 seconds and then went, yeah, but I'm good. Nothing more about that.
We left on time. We landed on time. I had no problems. They didn't lose my bags. Knock on wood, that don't happen again. But look, I can't complain. Can't complain. It was a nice plane ride. I mean, it's not comfortable seats, but so I get here, and boy, there's a lot of homeless, Joel. You didn't warn me.
I tried to do what I could, man.
I have never seen so many homeless people in one city. It's sad and alarming.
You do remember Terrence Jones, right?
Yeah.
The Terrence Jones situation was he was out on a night drinking with his buddies and walking down. There were so many homeless people that he just decided that one of them looked at him funny and he punched him. And that was remember, he got suspended for it. It was a huge deal.
Yeah, I almost got in a fight with a homeless guy, so I get it.
Okay.
What? Yeah. Look, there's a lot of them. The chances of you fighting a homeless person are pretty high here in Portland, okay?
Did he at least, like, spit in your face to get you fired up, or was it just...
So I forget where I was going, but I was catching a train, because that's all there is. There's public transportation. You can buy, like, a $5 pass and ride I was going to the Nike campus. I was going to the employee store, which is a whole other story. Mm-hmm. But I'm making a connection on another train that's going to take me out there to Beaverton. And I'm waiting. I'm leaning against this building, and I see this homeless man walking towards me, which is nothing new now. I'm totally used to that. But he starts stumbling, and he's got one eye closed. You know how you get really, really drunk, and in order to focus, you just close one eye?
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of doing that, and he starts stumbling, and he starts coming at me, like, briskly, like, rushing up on me. And I was like, what the hell is going on right now? And he gets right up to me and puts his hand, like, shoves my shoulder. And I was like, yo, man, what are you doing? And he didn't say anything. He's just looking at me. And I pushed him back. And I said, dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to back up. And he starts to fall on me.
Nick is loving this.
So I took both of my hands, I put them up under his armpits, and I kind of just shoved him back. I was like, dude, you're about to get knocked out. I don't know what's going on right now. I'm kind of freaking out. But and then he stops, and he looks at me, and he goes, did something happen? And I was like, what? He goes, what happened? I was like, you tell me, man. You just started walking up on me and then fell on me. He goes, my bad, partner. I blacked out and walked off. I was like, what? He just blacked out, just walking. He just passed out on me. I got passed out on by a homeless man. I had no idea.
That's
I thought
fantastic.
He wanted to fight. It was crazy, man. So that happened. It's been wild, guys.
I mean,
it's been wild.
The thing that I can only do so much, and then you got to just experience it for yourself. But the one thing that you realize in a hurry is, like in Houston, you know that there are different areas that you may encounter different things. And you kind of, if you live here, you know where to go and what to expect. In Portland, All bets are off. There aren't those areas. Oh. There aren't those kind of segregated areas. No, it's just, it's a free-for-all.
And they go everywhere with their dogs. I was at the grocery store.
Hey, don't knock that. That's a great thing.
I'm in Safeway, and this lady comes walking by with this Marmaduke-ass looking dog. I was like, what? Ma'am, are you going to ride that
home? Wait, the dog's in the store?
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, from a sanitary perspective, they have to draw the line.
That's not allowed.
Everywhere.
It can't be allowed.
No, dude, I'm telling you, the homeless people have dogs and they bring them in the store. I watched a homeless guy bring in a sack of cans. I'm at the Safeway. He brings the sack of cans and his dog into the store. He recycles the cans, gets the money. Guess what he does with the money? Just guess.
Bought dog food.
No. Nick, what's your guess that he did with the money?
I would have no idea.
He bought a Starbucks coffee. I'm like, look, I know, look, hey, I'm not here to judge, but I feel like if I was homeless, my priorities would not be Starbucks.
Why can't a homeless guy have a cup of Starbucks, man?
Why can't he get one for 50 cents instead of $3.95 at Starbucks?
That's my point. True. Do you know how expensive Starbucks is?
Yeah.
Bro.
You can even get the dog some food or a snack or something, maybe yourself.
How about a bottle of water? Why are you trying to drink some expensive-ass fancy coffee? I mean, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you how to spend your money, but that just seems like a waste.
How about a travel-sized mouthwash so that when you fall on Barry, you don't have bad breath? I mean, these are things you got to consider.
I will say this, though. The public transportation here is outstanding. You pay $5 for a day pass. You can ride the bus. You can ride the train.
Yeah.
You can ride the trolley, which is also a train. I don't know why they call it a trolley. It's exactly a train. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they call it the trolley. Or I figured out. This is a pro tip for everybody listening that ever comes to Portland. Save the $5 for 30 cents. You can pay a homeless person to give you a piggyback ride everywhere you go. It's outstanding. You save
and you
a
got
lot
those free bikes on all the corners. And they don't even check where they've been.
Here's the thing about the piggyback on the homeless. Still smells like the bus. So it's the same. I'm pretty sure I sat and vomit on the bus day two. Pretty sure. Ugh. I looked down and my feet is just sticking to the floor. And I was like, that's made vomit.
Nick like shake his head and grin from ear to ear. Anytime you can sit and vomit, Nick is happy.
Dude, I'm telling you, I am not about that public transportation life. I'm so glad that I have a car. Woo.
But that Airbnb always makes sense.
No, I'm at a hotel.
I know you are, but that's not where you started the thought process.
No.
We can get to all that next break. So good to have Barry connected. So he's in Portland today, but back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm back in. I'm going to be tired. I don't land in Austin until 5:45 a.m. So
Nick, prepare to fill in. All right. So Barry will be back just in body alone tomorrow, back in studio. But today he's in Portland. But glad we found a way to make sure that we can carry on with the rest of your day and our day. We're going to continue to roll. Todd, I appreciate you hanging tight. We'll get to you before we get to more of Barry when we come back. So Todd, hang tight as well, and we'll be back with more of the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Before we get to the commercials, though, I do want to tell you about, as I always do, about Gallery Furniture. Why do I speak for Gallery Furniture? Well, it's simple, because ever since I've been in Houston, it's the only place that I know to go when I need furniture, because everything that Max says is exactly what they're going to do. You don't get back order slips. When you go there and you see something on the showroom floor that you want, you're going to get it. You're going to get it within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. It'll be delivered to your door. That's important, because a lot of furniture stores around town, and I've got people here that I work with in the ESPN studios, that'll tell you the same thing. They shopped around and everybody had back order slips except Gallery. Gallery had better prices, no back order slips, and they made sure they did what they said they were going to do, and they delivered it the same day. It's hard to find these things, people, if you don't go to Gallery. But the biggest thing is the two things that everybody's concerned about. One, quality. You don't want to buy something and you got a cheap price, but it's also cheap quality and it falls apart quickly. You may have to put it together, if you know what I mean. And then after a year or so, you're shaking your head going, why the hell did I buy this in the first place? You never do that with Gallery Furniture, because it's all American-made solid wood furniture for every room in your house. From the bedroom to the dining room to the living room, and any room in between. If you get furniture from Gallery Furniture, it's going to last and last a long time. Brands like Stickley for the living room, dining room furniture, solid wood, leather, or upholstered furniture that's going to be quality for the years, not just for a few months. And the other thing that's going to be true about Gallery Furniture that everybody's concerned about is saving money, and there's no doubt about it. When you buy from Gallery Furniture and you're looking to get solid wood and quality furniture but at a reasonable price, you're never going to be disappointed when you go to Gallery because their prices are spot on. The fact that they're going to take care of you because they want you to be return customers is always there. And the fact of the matter is, what Max says is what they're going to do. That means Gallery really will save you money.
You ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Just tuning in. You'll find out Barry's in Portland. He'll be back tomorrow. Raheel filled in for the first couple segments, and we talked a little bit about Loogie Nights, as I called it, the spitgate that is Lakers-Rockets on Saturday night and the suspensions that followed. Barry, you saw it, I take it, whether it be via highlight or live?
I did see it, man. I didn't know about the spitting until later because obviously I saw it in passing. Mm-hmm. So I had to, it wasn't until I logged on and somebody had like this slow motion, super zoomed in version.
I know this will surprise you.
See.
This will surprise you. It came from the Rockets video department. I know that is just no way you could believe that, but it came from the Rockets video department. And then certain people put it out on the internet. I don't know who they are. But I think you and I both got tweets from them after a big Rockets victory on Saturday night.
Oh, my God. I hate that so much.
Yeah. The bots are back, Nick. The bots are back.
I got a couple, too. They're not going anywhere.
I went back to my settings. Yeah, well, I won't get him anymore. So I would show you guys, but I want y'all to suffer. So
appreciate that. Nick, how's that connection going? Any way we can make it worse?
I think we just lost him.
Raheel's down the hallway.
No, disconnected.
Just like a fishing pole. We'll just
welcome
reel
in, Lance Zierlein.
Reel in Raheel.
Guys, I'm still here.
But, yeah, that. I mean, I didn't really hear what you and Raheel were talking about, honestly, because I was running down the hall, and I know Raheel had some opinions about it, but I think the official suspension, because I really didn't hear you guys talk. I think it's, what, three games, right, in that order? Chris Paul with two games.
Four for Ingram, three for Rondo, two for Paul.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think everybody had to get suspended. It wasn't cool. You can't be spitting in people's faces, that's for sure, if that's what really happened. The video, I feel like, showed a little bit of a loogie being
yeah, no, there's doubt. There's no doubt that there was saliva.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't think that was cool. I didn't know what the precedent is for suspension in terms of getting spit in the face or spitting on somebody else's face, but I guess that's normal.
It's not.
Well, what I was.
Go ahead, Bear.
I was gonna say what I was impressed with is that when he spit in his face, rather than immediately. Chris Paul immediately punching him, he just put his finger in his face like, yo, why are you doing that? And then Rondo's the one that actually threw the first punch.
Threw a combo.
Now, I'm not saying what Chris Paul did was right, but at that point, rather than just putting my finger on somebody's face and mushing them, I would probably have just went ahead and punched that dude right away because you spit on me. So, I was kind of impressed, but then that's why you got hit first. You should have thrown the first punch if I'm Chris Paul.
Yeah, here's what I said when we were getting you connected. My big thing here is the NBA pleads with players to show restraint. And so to try and stay within what the NBA wants you to do as a player, and he's the head of the Players Association. People need to take that into consideration because it's very important because he at representing all players, he has a little bit more pressure to act the right way. He showed restraint for as long as he could, but now you take the NBA out of that, and just realize anytime any grown-ass man spits in your face, all bets are off. He should have been able to do whatever he wanted to do, and the fact that he held back as long as he did and then dealt with the spit and a 1-2 from Rondo, he should have been able to kick, punch, bite, scratch, do everything he did to Julius Hodge in college and more, and he should have only got suspended one game because it was awful.
Well, the problem is he threw a punch back. In fact, I think he landed a couple as well. He landed a
left later hook he and got a couple uppercuts. Yeah,
and Ingram to me is the guiltiest of all because not only did he push, he initiated all of this by pushing Harden first.
Correct.
But then he comes back into the fray and throws that overhand right, and I'm not sure if it connected. I couldn't tell. But that was pretty egregious to me. You were already out of the fray. They were breaking up Rondo and Chris Paul. There was no reason. I get having your teammates back. If that was P.J. Tucker doing that for Chris Paul, I'd be like, hey, that's why we have P.J. Tucker. But I would also wouldn't be upset if he got a lengthier suspension. I think four games was too light for Ingram. Mm-hmm. And I think three games was too light for Rondo for spitting and also initiating it. Both of the Lakers basically started it. In the separate instances, and I think maybe Chris Paul got about right at two.
This is a rarity, Nick. You need to isolate this show because this is one of those few times where I will say this. I completely agree with you, Barry, and that's exactly what I said too. So therefore, I think from the standpoint, we're both on the same page. They didn't get it right, but at the same time, the two guys that should have gotten more didn't. And what I said as a follow-up to that is, if you're any other player in the NBA and you see this and go, well, if I show restraint, it's only going to be a one-game difference. But, boy, in terms of with my brotherhood in the NBA and saving face and doing the thing where you disrespect me and I don't tolerate it and I come out, you know, throwing haymakers, I might as well do that because it's only going to be a one-game difference.
Now, I did see where they were talking about money-wise. Is Chris Paul still going to lose more money than the other two?
Oh, for sure, because of the fact that he signed the Monster Max contract. Deal. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate part. So it's only two games, but if he's going to lose more money, that also sucks.
I completely agree, and I think that he gets hosed throughout this process, and that's unfortunate. But the other thing that a lot of Rockets fans have to this brought back memories because the way he ran in and wound up and then sucker punched, it had Kermit Washington-esque actions all over it. And it was, you know, the same city against the same team. That was, in a nutshell, when you're looking about past precedents and sending a message, the league, for that reason alone, too, should have said, hey, we got to crack down on this because this could get a lot worse.
It was ugly, man. I and this is so early in the season. I don't know when the earliest fight has ever occurred, but this is, I mean, second game in.
Yeah, short of opening night. Yeah, this one was pretty bad. So with that being said, before we get to the end of the top of the hour, let's get Todd in here. He's been patiently holding. He wants to talk about Chris Paul. Todd, what's up?
What's up, guys? Actually, Barry just hit on it. Blew my mind. I'm assuming that they issue fines based off of salary, and I mean I think that that's crazy. You know, like y'all are saying, the other two deserved more of a suspension, and Chris Paul deserved less. But Chris Paul ends up losing more money. I mean, he has more money, but his fine is bigger just because he made more money. That him making more money has nothing to do with how things played out and went down. I think that the fine should be assessed based on your participation in the altercation.
Good point, Todd. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff there. And the fact that you agreed with Barry, you'll have to work on that. So other than that, and Brandon Ingram, by the way, just came out on his suspension and said it was better than we expected. I'm happy it was only four. I have to control my emotions better. I apologize to my teammates. You should be apologizing to a lot more and thanking your lucky stars you only got four.
For real. And you know what else you should thank your lucky stars for in Houston is that you're right next to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. I'm missing it. We've got to schedule something, guys, when I get back to go grab some food, especially before I try to get back on the diet wagon. Man, I've been watching the Cowboys and Indians Instagram, CNI713 on Instagram. I've been watching it. Oh, I miss it so much. The food is amazing. You guys, if you haven't been to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen yet, What are you waiting for? I've been talking about these folks for over a year now. And if you haven't gone yet, do yourself a favor and get out there. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. The food is outstanding. The menu is diverse. All of the food is delicious. They've got Southern comfort food. That's the cowboy part of Cowboys and Indians. And they have Indian food. That's the Indians part of Cowboys and Indians. And the menu's diverse. The Indian food, the recipes, a lot of them have been passed down through Haas's family over the generations and perfected right there in the kitchen. And the Southern comfort food, absolutely delicious. They've got burgers. They've got chicken fried steak. And if you want to eat healthy and still go, maybe take a loved one that's not eating healthy, they've got, you know, grilled chicken and rice and green beans. Absolutely everything for everybody. And if you don't care, get the red velvet cake when you're done. Trust me on that. No matter how full you are, get that red velvet cake before you go home. Give them a follow on Facebook and Instagram, CNI713. You can learn more about the food and the menu and what they have going on out there. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Guys, make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5.